But good morning, and we're going to go right into prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness, Lord God. The songwriter said, take me to the King. Lord God, and that's our prayer this morning. Take us to us. Take us to you. Take us to your feet, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and just we just want to lay, Lord God, at your feet, Lord God, to bask in your glory, Lord God. Father, it is the only help we know. It is the only rescue we know. It is the only hope that we know, Lord, is at your feet, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that you would be with us, Lord God, that you would clothe us, Lord God, and surround us and infuse us with your Holy Spirit today. Oh, Lord, move, Lord God, in this room, Lord God. Move throughout the Sunday school. Move throughout the building, Lord God. Lord, we just gather with our brothers and sisters all over the world that would name that Jesus is Lord, God. We pray that you bless them and keep them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And I hope you guys are praying and praying and praying more. I know we always used to pray, but folks, we got to pray more than ever, like never before. You know, our world is broken, but the Holy Spirit can come and sweep through the earth. So it's up to us to pray, to invite the Holy Spirit into our world and into every situation. We had a couple of prayer sheets last week, and the one that Rose Hicks brought was this one, and we have more copies of this one. It's about the 40 days of prayer over Pueblo. So it's just really good. So just pick one up. There's some more copies at the table there about praying over Pueblo. Prayer makes a difference, folks. And I'm not just telling you because the Bible says it. I'm telling you because of my own experience. God is faithful. He hears you. He hears you. I heard somebody say, yeah, I can't even know, don't know if it was in a song, but it said, can the ear maker not hear?
Yeah.
Can the eye maker not see? Oh, he can hear you.
Oh, yes.
So just let your voice rise like a fountain for him, for everything that needs to be done in this earth. Don't just try and do it in your own strength, but do it. Do it with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. So as we continue our lesson, the lifter up of my head, it's such an appropriate lesson. I'm so amazed at what God gives us, what we need when we need it. Maybe you don't need it, but I need this. I need this lesson right now, the lifter up of my head. So know that when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself too, because I need this encouragement too. And his word is such an encourager. Our key verse today, we're going to talk about living this name, the lifter up of my head. And last week we just talked about some of the things that King David went through and some of the emotions that he had to deal with. And he was the one that wrote that our key scripture, which is, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. And last week, as we talked about knowing this name, the key verse was the verses that preceded that key verse, Psalm 3, 1 and 2. And it says, O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help. There is no help, no salvation for him in God. And we talked about how you have to resist the liar. You have to resist the liar because he will lie you into the grave. He will lie to you until you are putting a gun up to your head, ready to blow your brains out. That's how much he will lie to you. So you have to resist him. As the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to believe that. But folks, it is true. God speaks truth to us, but the enemy will speak lies. So you lift up your head as David lift up his head. I just love this David and how he was so candid and so transparent with his Lord. He told the Lord everything about his feelings. You know, he didn't shield him. He didn't shield anything in his heart. Not that you can shield your heart from God, but sometimes we think we can shield. Sometimes we think we can shield our hearts from God, but you can't. You know, but he appreciates it when out of your mouth you speak what's going on in your heart. Because once you start speaking, thank you. Once you start speaking what's going on in your heart, then he can minister to you. Because see, even though he knows what's going on, unless you open up, how can he minister to you if you're not willing to talk to him? If you're not willing to deal with your hurt and your pain. See, this whole lesson is about dealing with those hurts and those pains and those different things and how he wants to lift your head. So David was such a wonderful example that even when his own son betrayed him, he still went to God. And God delivered him and placed him where he needed to be placed. We talked about when you know this name, when God lifts your head, he lifts up everything about you. See, David, the mantle of king was put on David. It wasn't put on Absalom. It was put on David. So when God puts a mantle on you, when God gives you a blessing, it is yours. No man, no human can take it from you. It is yours. But your job and your work is to stay under the umbrella of God, as David did. He did what the Lord told him to do. Even when somebody, the Shimei, was trying to curse him, he was out of the family of Saul, and he was trying to curse David. David said, well, if you want to curse me, curse me. If God wants me cursing, so be it. But I'm going to stay with my Lord. I'm going to keep focusing on my Lord. Yes, I've made mistakes. David did make some mistakes. But even the mistake he brought to Jesus. Even the mistake he brought to the Lord. You know, when you read Psalm 51, boy, that prayer of repentance. He said, Lord, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That's after he had sinned with Bathsheba. He cried out to the Lord. I've messed up. And I love this about God, because even when it's your fault, how many of you all can say sometimes it was my fault? Oh, yes. It was my fault sometimes, y'all. I got to tell you, it was my fault. But God still had mercy on me when it was my fault. And even when it was my fault, he still lifted my head. So don't let the liar tell you anything different, that God has cast you aside, that God has forgotten you. David dealt with that all the time. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted or disturbed within me? He would say those true feelings, and then he would end it with, but hope thou in God. I love that about him. He talked about what was going on, but then he, but hope thou in God. So that's an example to us. You can tell God what's going on with you, but at the end, but we're hoping in you. My heart's breaking right now, Lord. They hurt my feelings, Lord God. They broke my heart, Lord God. But Lord, I hope in you. I hope in you. I know you will be there tomorrow for me. That's what that's about. So sometimes I hear people talk. Describe Christians as being in denial or, you know, just having this smile on their face. I'm blessed. It's not about that. It's about, yes, I do hurt. My heart does break, but I hope in God. I hope in God. I won't go down into the abyss of darkness with a liar, but I will hope in God. Even as my heart is breaking, I will sing praises. I remember praising God with tears rolling down my heart, my face, praising him and worshiping him. And I believe that was some of the best praise I ever gave to the Lord God. I believe it was. It was the most sincere praise, because my heart, my emotions weren't there, but my spirit continued to sing praises to him. See, that's what we got to get in that spirit thing. We're so moved and by our emotions. We got to get past it. You can get past it because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And he can move you past what you're feeling. He can move you past the lump in your throat. He can move you past that, and you can just open your mouth as an act of obedience, as an act of your will. You can open your mouth and says, Lord, thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head, and I believe that. Now, as we can go, continue, we're going to continue. We've already started talking about living this name. Our key verse is from Isaiah 43:2 for this section. And it says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. That is a promise from the Almighty God to his people. Yeah, you'll go through some deep waters. Yes, you'll go through some rivers. Yes, you'll go through some fire. But he says, I will be with you, and you won't drown. You won't be consumed. So living today in Jesus' name, the lifter up of my head, is to move into the day trusting that we will be saturated with Christ's confidence. It is his nature to lift up. Let me read that again. It is his nature to lift up. When we make a mistake, I'm telling you, and I've already hit on this, it's natural for us to want to beat ourselves up. Even after we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and we understand the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is available to us, we still tend to move toward self-loathing. We learned this in Babylon, folks. That's what the world teaches us. When you make a mistake, not that there shouldn't be consequences for your mistake. David faced some consequences for a mistake, but at no point in time, at no point in time in your mistake, does God not love you? Does God not care for you still? The liar will tell you that, but it's a lie. He still cares for you. You don't have to go through this period of self-loathing. You don't have to go through this period, well, I have to go through this period of punishment before God will care for me again, before God will hear my prayer. No, he will hear you immediately afterwards. He will hear you. Christ's nature is to lift you up. He will come and get you in the storm. Don't you know it?
Amen.
That's that picture in your handout today. Christ went to get them in the storm. He already knew the situation and what was going on, but Christ will come and get you in the storm. Oh man, just the smallest prayer, the smallest just glance up to him and he will come and get you. Remember the father and the prodigal son story? He ran out. He didn't even wait till he got to the door of the house. He ran out to meet him. And that's what God does. He will come and get you in the storm. Sometimes he's coming to get you through a song that you didn't expect to hear. You ever have that happen? Or a song that you heard twice in one day, and those words just minister to you? And I'm like, that's a second time. You know, this week I was, going through some stuff, and I'm like, Lord, I don't think I did that right. And Lord, I don't know how this is all going to turn out. And I heard this song, by the Clark sisters sang long time ago, You Are Blessed and Highly Favored. It kept just playing over, You Are Blessed and Highly Favored. You are blessed and highly favored. I just kept hearing the chorus of that song. And I said, okay, Lord, I thank you. Because he was just like, you're blessed and highly favored. I got you. You're blessed and highly favored. And then it was Rose. Rose sent me a text. I mean, it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning when, that's all right. I'm up praying. I'm in prayer. And I'm like, I can't believe she up this early.
Yes.
And she said, there's this app, Abide. And do you know Rose sends it out to people in the morning, and you sent me that app, and the scripture was, you are blessed and highly favored. Oh my God. OMG. OMG. You know? I'm like,
wow.
No, you didn't. You know? That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
He's listening. He's listening. He's listening. Because I had played that song. I felt in my spirit woke up just singing that song, and I just played it. And then she texted to me. It was like God wanted to confirm to me, you are blessed and highly favored. I got you. I have you. God will do that for you. Beloved, he calls you beloved. I'll do that. I'll meet you. where you are. I'll meet you. Some of you, I know some of you, you're caregivers. A lot of you, I just know what's going on in your life, and you care for people. You take care of everybody else. But I'm telling you, he will take care of you. He will lift up your head, you personally. He's not looking for you to do anything. Just, I'm going to take care of my child today. This is my child. I'm going to take care of my child today.
Yes. Big time.
Big time. Thoroughly and completely. So he will come and get you in the storm. Sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's through a word. Sometimes it's through a song and a word, like it was for me. Or an unexpected act of kindness or encouragement that you didn't expect to come. Especially from a certain person. You know, you get an unexpected act of kindness from someone that you didn't expect, and you're like, okay, I didn't expect that today, but Lord, thank you. I needed it. Because I couldn't deal with something else today. He will pursue you in the storm. I want you to get a look at that picture in your mind, how he will come into your storm and rescue you. When it comes to living the name, the lifter up of my head, we must examine our weaknesses. Those things that cause us to lower our head in life. God knows our weaknesses, our oppressions, our fears, our lack of health issues, our health issues, our life situations. And this is what his word says about it. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. Mm-hmm. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. This is why I take pleasure in my weakness. This is the apostle talking. And the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because see, he comes in your weakness. And for some of us, he's got to wait until we are weak before he can move. Because we're all that, you know? I'm talking to the cholerics in the room. Hello. Those ones with a powerful leadership temperament. Sometimes he has to wait until you are weak, until you have exhausted all of your options. Then he can come. The Apostle Paul was such a person. You know, Apostle Paul, if you read his writings, this man was a choleric. Okay, he didn't take any stuff. But he was brought to this place where he understood God's grace. He had seasons of weakness. He had a sickness, the Bible says. A sickness that he prayed. He said, I sought the Lord 3 times to remove this infirmity from me. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. And you're like, what? Why didn't he just heal him so he can do his work? Because I'm telling you, I got to tell you something. God, Jesus is not just about you doing his work. He's about you. See, there was something about the apostle. He wanted to keep, he needed to care for the apostle too. The apostle was doing his work, but he wanted to care for the apostle. He said, so I'm going to give you an infirmity. So you'll be quiet sometimes, and you'll be still sometimes, and you'll hear me sometimes. You know, and I've learned that. I've learned that through the years. I'm like, God is sovereign, and he does what he wants to do. So don't think he didn't hear your prayer for healing. I'll tell you, I think about my son, Matt, and I fasted and prayed in the years past. Fasted and prayed for that brother. You know, just praying, Jesus, please do something. Jesus, please. He's so much better now than he was. But back in the day, oh, my God. Oh, my God. But God did a work in me because of him. God did a work in me. You know, I remember teaching a sermon, the ministry of motherhood. You know, as I said, I was trying to minister to my child, and my child ended up ministering to me, bringing me to the feet of the Lord. That's what happened. God is, you know, don't think he didn't miss you. He didn't miss your healing. He didn't miss it. But folks, I tell you, pay attention to what's going on. He's trying to speak to you like he did the apostle. Remember the apostle? The apostle. He wrote a third of the New Testament. And he had an infirmity that he asked God to heal. And Jesus said, no. My grace is sufficient. There's a work I need to do in you. And you've got that strong, powerful temperament. And I gotta temper that a little bit. Because if I didn't, you'd work yourself to death. If I didn't, you'd be on your laptop till midnight every night. If I didn't, you wouldn't pray as much. But you need to pray. You need to be talking to me or you're going to miss it. So living this name. You know, see, I look at this scripture and I'm thinking, okay, so the infirmity is still there. The weakness is still there. But yet his head is lifted up because he's understanding Christ more. That when I am weak, then Christ is strong in me. Because I know I couldn't have done it of my own strength, but it got done. It was because he was strong in me, even when I was weak. Through every fiery dart that the enemy throws at you, Christ will enter into the situation and strengthen you if you ask for him. Keep in mind, as I say, I have to remind you, there's a power, there's a force that wants to keep your head hung down low. There's a force that wants you depressed and oppressed. And if you will not ask for Christ's help, even as a Christian, if you will not pray, if you will not lift your head up, if you think you've got your skill set and you don't need him, the enemy will come in and mess with you. Mess with your head. As a Christian, he can't possess you, but he can certainly get in your ear, tell you all kind of stuff. But you have to lift up your shield of faith, as Peter did in this storm. Remember Peter? I tell you, you got to give him some props on that one. The middle of this storm, he got out of the boat. See, sometimes we're in the middle of a storm. And we are compelled to get out of the boat. I mean, it's like, okay, if I do that, I'm going to die. If I do this, the situation is going to get worse. So, but when God is speaking, because Jesus said, come on. Lord, if it be you, ask me to get out of the boat. And Jesus said, come. Sometimes Jesus just said, come. But what are they going to say it's going to get worse? Hear Christ. Trust him. Have faith. It's so different than what you have learned and what you've been raised. See, that's our issue. We gotta get that mindset. New mind. Getting out of a boat in a storm. That takes a new mind. Okay, because we learned the opposite. When you're in a storm, you hold on to the side of that boat as hard as you can. And here comes Jesus telling you to get out of the boat. New mind. Peter walked in that. As we recognize Christ working through our weakness, we gain a confidence in him we have not known before. This confidence, assurance is a priceless gift. It's priceless. When you learn to have confidence in Jesus Christ, it is priceless. I mean, you're talking about your head being lifted up. When you know Jesus is with you, boy, when I got that text, I was like, okay. I'm blessed and highly favored, y'all. Blessed and highly favored. It's going to be all right, okay? Because I'm here and I'm blessed and highly favored. There's a confidence, but you know that confidence is going to come as you exercise your faith over and over again. If you're one of these people that only move in what I can see, and if I can't see it, I'm not moving. Oh, how sad. Yes, you're saved, you're a believer, yes. But boy, to not know his power on this side of heaven, to not know how he can work in your life on this side of heaven. How sad. You know, I think that's one of the things one of the regrets I think I'll have in heaven is that I didn't trust him more. You know, he could have taken care of that situation that I suffered through, but I didn't, I let fear get the best of me. So exercise your faith. And Jesus is so good. You know, he'll start you off with some small stuff, okay? He'll start you off with some small stuff. You know, give somebody $20. But I was going to get groceries when I went. Give the $20. Don't do that today. Go do this. But I had it all set because if I do this today, then I can do that tomorrow. Go spend some time with your son, your daughter. Don't do that today. Just little things. And then you'll see how God worked in the situation and you're closer to that person that was keeping you at arm's length, or you bless somebody and God turned around and blessed you even more. He blessed you with $40. I wasn't expecting. And the confidence in Christ just builds and builds. And after a while, as soon as he says it, okay, we're doing it. That's where he wants us, all of his children, to be. I want you to have confidence in me and not in this world situation. So it's priceless. Once you get it, it's priceless. We no longer fear our weaknesses, our past failures or shortcomings, because we know that the victory is in Christ and not in us. See, we all got a past. But after a while, it doesn't bother you anymore. I used to be terrified people were going to bring up certain things that happened to me in the past. Oh, God, please don't ask about, please don't bring that up. You see somebody from your past, I'm like, oh, my God. There's Penelope. I know she, oh, my God, please don't let her bring up. But I'm telling you, when you're walking in the confidence of Jesus Christ, it doesn't bother you. Because, see, I'm dead in Christ. So, yeah, that did happen, folks. Yeah, I lost my house. I lost my house. It was in the newspaper. It was in a Pueblo chieftain, okay? It was, really. That's true. My house was up for auction. Doesn't faze me anymore. I'm like, yeah. I said, but let me tell you what Jesus did. Right. Let me tell you what Jesus did.
Just like Job.
It's a segue to the testimony.
Amen.
You know, people want to condemn you for what you've been through and your past and all of that. And I say, show me the scars. Come on, show me the scars. Because apparently you died for me. Because you have something to say. You have a comment about what I've been through. So show me the scars, please. And then we can have a conversation. Otherwise, thank you, Jesus. Look where he brought me from. See, confidence in Christ. The enemy wants you to hang your head down low. You know, you can see when the enemy enters into people, they want to look at you all kind of crazy. And yeah, but you know. Yeah, but you know. But the confidence that you have in Christ, it makes you lift your head. So your past failures, your shortcomings, because we know that the victory is in Christ and not in us. It is not in us. It's in Christ. We must take on the attitude of the apostle when he proclaimed, I die daily. I face death and I die to self. I die to myself. I think sometimes I'm tested. I think the Lord just allows it that so I can be tested. Somebody brings up something. I'm like, yeah, got through that. That was quite a, yeah, got through that. God is good. Yeah. And boy, watch them shut down because they didn't expect that. They expected you to. You're like, wow, but you know, God's been good to me. He's been good. What I have or do not have does not matter. All I need is Christ. I do. I come to the place where I don't want me to matter anymore, but I want Christ to matter. See, some of us are still getting there, but you want to get to a place where you don't matter. Whatever, it doesn't matter. This life is but a vapor. I used to put so much stock in this life and my status and my... It doesn't matter. All that matters is what you do for Christ. If you don't like me, you don't like me. If I lose friends, I lose friends. God had to get me to that, over that thing. Losing friends. The apostle said, "For I made the decision to know nothing, that is to forego philosophical or theological discussions regarding inconsequential things and opinions while among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And the meaning of his redemptive substitutionary death and his resurrection. Of course, that's the Amplified. That's 2 Corinthians 2:2. I love the way they broke this down. I made a decision. And this, and you know, Paul, this is an educated man. This is, remember, he's Pharisee of Pharisees. But he had to come to a place of casting aside his skill set to know Jesus Christ and him only. That's all that matters. We'll talk about Jesus. If you want to talk about other stuff, I can't get into all these arguments with you all. What I want to talk about is Jesus. You got to get to a point like Peter. Like Peter, in the middle of the storm, all this stuff is going on. The winds are blowing. Everybody's terrified around him. But you know, you get to a point in the middle of this stuff, when all this stuff is going on, that all you want is Jesus. All you care about is Jesus. Like, you know, hey, you guys, do what you want. Come if you want, leave if you want. I got to get with Jesus. You know, and that's what getting out of the boat is about. You know, if I perish, I perish. If I die out here, but I'm going to get out. I'm going to Jesus. I see him and I'm going. And you get to a place where that's where you are. Because you know he's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can get me out of this mess. He's the only one that can lift my head at this point. Because humans can't do it anymore. I'm too far gone. I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm just too far gone. And only Jesus. If you don't come, I'm going to die right here. That's where you have to get. And see, that's where Peter was when he got out of that boat. I want him so badly. They're terrified. This boat is about to capsize. So I'm getting out the boat and going to Jesus. I see Jesus. I'm going. This is where I'm going. So when it comes to living this name, and it should be this name, the lifter up of my head, we must also examine our strengths, our faith and prayers and testimonies and gifts and blessings from God. So that's the other part of this. Not letting the enemy lie to you, one part. The other part is examining what God has given you. Look at your faith. Your prayers are the privilege to pray. Look at the testimony, where he brought you from. Look at the gifts he's put in your life. And look at the blessings he has blessed you with. The enemy doesn't want you to see the blessing. He just wants you to see the problem. But you look at those things. You examine them. When you are going through difficulties, the enemy tries to shield your strength from you or distract you from using your spiritual weapons by keeping the situation in the forefront of your mind. Satan wants you to forget or disbelieve the power of God and what he has done and what his word says he will do. Satan wants you to forget where God has brought you from. Your testimony and your present authority in Christ. It's not authority to come. When you accepted Jesus Christ, don't you know his spirit came to live in you, and that's a spirit that has the authority over the enemy? He wants you, Satan wants you to shrink, and he wants to make you small and less than you are. You know, he just wants you to feel bad. Don't say anything. Don't use your gifts. Just be quiet. And don't say anything. It's like the prime minister of another country coming to the United States ordering people around. Yeah. Well, what's the problem with that? You have no authority over here. That's the way the enemy is. He'll come in trying to order you around. Oh, this is not your country. Okay? You have no authority here. That's the way you have to see this. Satan has power. Yeah, he has power. But he does not have authority.
But he doesn't have power over us anyway.
And the power, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So the power that's in you is greater. Satan does have power. But the power of Christ within you is greater. And he certainly doesn't have authority. That's why, see, you gotta understand his schemes. Because that's why he can't do too much to you. All he can do is get in your ear and lie. So you'll do it to you. He eggs you into the argument. He eggs you into the bad decision. Because he can't make you do it. He has no authority. But if I lie to her enough, him enough, then they will do it. That's how he operates. You got to, you know, as the apostle said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Satan will lie to you to get you to forfeit your strength and your authority in Christ. You got to keep going back to why Jesus called him the liar. The father of lies, actually, is what he called him. There's a reason why the Savior of the world called Satan that name. That's all he does is lie, lie, lie. The scripture says, David cried, "O Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no help, no salvation for him in God." And again, we talked about this first. David, he describes his situation. Then he goes on to speak his faith in God over the situation. He says, "I will not be intimidated or afraid of the 10,000 who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked." And I think just that shattering of the teeth has to do with the words that the wicked speak. So be sure to speak your faith over God. It's not like you can't vent to God. Yes, vent to God. Tell him all about it. As the old song says, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry and he will answer by and by.
He really wants that, Karen.
He does. That's why he died. He died so that we could have a personal relationship. He wants that. Yes. I told you guys, I used to laugh because my mom would be asking Jesus to help her find her dress that she couldn't find in her closet. I'm like, you know, Jesus has more important things to do than to help you find your dress for church. But that's the kind of relationship she had with him. And she would find her dress too.
I do that.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm like, boy, it can start there. You know, the littlest things. Yeah. The littlest things. He used to be all in there. Just want to, yeah, just, I know what a dress is. Just ask me. Okay. Then you see a little tail sticking out.
Or he'll do that something.
Or you move something and there it is. Bring him into your life. Even your little stuff. Lord Jesus, please make this cake act right this time. You know, make my pound cake not have the salt part in the middle.
I love it, though.
You can bring him in, and I encourage you to do that. I mean, that personal relationship. He longs for it. Bring him in to everything that's going on with you. David was a gifted songwriter and musician. He retreated to this gift when he was oppressed to encourage himself in the Lord. He was a gifted warrior. God worked through David to slay Goliath. He also blessed the armies under David to rule, David's rule to defeat Absalom, the betrayer. The enemy wants you to lay down your gifts and talents when you are oppressed. Oh man, our human feelings often lead us to that direction. The enemy wants you to lay down. The singer will stop singing. The prayer warrior will stop praying. The writer will stop writing. The encourager stops encouraging. The helper stops helping. But lift up your head and say, but thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. Keep singing even when they're whispering about you. Keep helping even when they're talking about you. It will lift up your head. Keep going. Keep working. He lifts up your head. He placed gifts in you. He already saw all your days are written in a book. He knew you were going to face this day. And he put certain gifts in you so that when that day comes, go into your gift and express it like never before. I'm telling you, some of the greatest songs, some of the greatest writings come out of pain and suffering. I mean, just go through the hymnal. Oh, my God. Read some of those hymns. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river, his children are dead. When peace like a river attends my way, when storm clouds like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Use your gifts when you're hurting. Don't shut them down. Satan wants you to shut it down. No. Go out and help somebody. Bake your neighbor a cake or some bread and take it over there. Help somebody. Love on somebody. The Lord will lift your head. I know this is a way in which he lifts our head. At this time, you must stand or stir up the gift of God within you. Romans 8:26 says, sometimes that song, that prayer, no, actually it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps your infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. I don't know if you've been in a place where there were no words. There were no more words. All there was a groan. And all you could do was rock and groan and rock and groan because the pain was so deep. But those are the times when the Holy Spirit, he's making intercessions for you. Even with the groanings, he's making intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered because sometimes there are no words, people. I remember the old church mothers would sit there and they would just, no words, just hum, and rock and hum, I mean, not even a melody, just, I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. Sometimes there are no words. You just sit and you just groan before the Lord. And he's reading your heart. Don't think he's reading your heart. He knows you're praying. He reads your heart. In 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, the apostle was encouraging Timothy and he said, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, he was encouraging Timothy because Timothy, you know, the verses above talk about Timothy's tears. Timothy was going through some things and he was crying and Paul sent him this letter to stir up the gift of God within him. The next point says, therefore, sing praise. Sing praise, teach, preach. even if it's just to yourself. Folks, even if it's just to yourself, honey, turn on some Hezekiah Walker. Turn on somebody. Heritage Singers, I like them. Turn on. Whatever touches your heart. Crystal Lewis. Jackie Velasquez. Turn on. You know, I told you, I bought a tambourine. I bought a tambourine for my house, okay? I bought a tambourine to have in my house. Sometimes I just turn that music up and I just play that tambourine. Just walk around my playing the tambourine all by myself. As the old church mother used to say, give the devil a black eye.
Yes.
You give the devil a black eye when you do that. Stir up the gift of God within you. And the scripture says, oh, you who are enthroned, hallelujah, in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. At Psalm 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people, says one interpretation. God inhabits praise. God's power rules where there are praises to him. Not when you grumble and you complain and you feel sorry for yourself. God won't, I'm telling you, as sad as self-pity looks, God will not be enthroned in it. As sad as it looks, I've seen some people just be so sad. But God is enthroned on praise, folks. Now people, get this point, people will pity you. And people will excuse you from facing things when you're down. But God will not be enthroned on pity. He is moved by faith. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Matthew 9:20. If you want to read the story. I mean, she had had enough. Like, I've been sick all this time. And I heard that the Savior was, I heard that Jesus was coming through. And I heard he was healing. And she got up, crawling in the dirt around the feet of the people. Can you imagine the dust being kicked up all in her face and she's sick and she doesn't feel well and she's just trying to touch the hem of his garment? That's the way Jesus is. All these people around him trying to get his attention. But he felt when she touched him. See, God feels when you're when you're like, I've had enough. And I'm going to stay here until you move in my life. I'm going to crawl. That moved him. That moved him. And she was healed. The two blind men in Matthew 20, verses 30 through 34. They told him to shut up. Jesus! Jesus, they couldn't even see him. They just heard. They, Son of David, have mercy on us. Be quiet. We're trying to have a meeting. Be quiet. And they screamed even louder. Have you been there? Like, oh, no. I'm going. I'm going to church tonight. I'm going. I need to hear from him. So be careful when people are telling you to be quiet and people are telling you, well, that one with the issue of blood, I'm telling you, blood, when it comes out of your body, it stinks. It's living tissue. When it comes out of your body, it has an odor to it. She did not care. She was coming to the Savior. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, the preacher said. There comes a point when you have to get there where nothing is between your soul and your Savior. As you choose to surrender the throne of your situation through the various ways of praise and worship to him, he comes and takes the throne of your situation. Wow. And the psalmist proclaimed, they trusted in you and were not disappointed. or ashamed. I tell you, there's something about when you start to reach out to him. I mean, he knows when you're reaching out and when you're just raising your hand out of tradition. And he knows when you're reaching out. That's what I love. That's what sets Christianity apart from any other belief, is that our Lord, our God, knows our heart and knows our spirit. It's not about all these rituals and all these acts. That's what sets it apart. That's what makes it different. It grows to this day. Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity is no longer growing. It's growing to this day. New believers growing every day. Right now, they're having Heaven Fest up in Denver. 2 days of praise and worship in Denver going on right now. Because he's real. There's nothing. See, Jesus is what the human needs. The human needs Jesus. There's no substitute. There's no other religion. There's no other faith that can do this but Jesus. Everybody that tried to disprove him failed. All these years, all these thousands of years, everybody that tried to disprove that he was who he said he was, they failed. He is Lord. He is Christ. I mean, folks, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, wouldn't he have faded out a long time ago?
Oh, yeah.
You and I would have never even heard of him, because he would have faded out a long time ago, like so many other faiths and religions. But Jesus remains to this day. Any comments? Any questions? We're going to stop right there.
You know, this morning when I was, we were driving here and... because I was thinking about, you know, getting another house, a bigger house and stuff like that. And my husband shut me down right away. Did you pray about that? I said, no, I didn't. Well, you rely on the Lord. And, you know, he placed us here and he blessed us with many things. And I said, okay, I already repent and everything. But anyway, God, he's been so good in our lives. And, you know, like every day I sing praises to him every day. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. Every day I sing that to him.
Yes.
And then I'm doing a series of Job, too.
Yes.
Jeremiah.
Wow. Yes.
And I'm telling you, you appreciate more about the Lord and how he loves us so much and how he doesn't, you know, forsake us and leave us in the time of trouble and stuff like that. And also on Wednesday night, when I don't know if everybody went to Wednesday night about this...
The world ministry, the church
and stuff like that. If you don't know the word of God, you'd be deceived as well. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in the end times that if you don't know my word, you'll be deceived, even elect.
Yes.
So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. And that really opened my eyes when that guy came down here.
He talked about that new religion, that mother god. Yeah.
And they have a mother god now. They're saying.
And they're going after college students
and stuff like that. But
yeah.
We need to be prepared and we need to pray. As I said on that prayer list that, you know, I typed up and everything. We need to do that every day.
Yeah.
Every day. So.
Absolutely. We've got to know our word. We not got to know, and you know we've got so much at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. That Bible app, the Holy Bible app. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's one of the most downloaded apps of all apps.
Version,
you know, and you can just put it on play.
Yep.
And just listen to it through your day. Just I mean, it's amazing. What I was listening to it yesterday, and just amazing how that word gets into you and it changes you, and you're like, oh wow. You know, and the Holy Spirit will give you revelation in it as you listen. So I encourage you, people of God, know the word. Know the word so you will not be deceived. Because the deceiver is out like never before. Because he knows his time is short and shorter and shorter. Anybody else?
Well, I have this really good teaching series by Joyce Meyer, and it's on not getting offended. Mm-hmm. And the last CD is Don't Be Offended by Trouble. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking of that. It's just a powerful lesson about sometimes we don't even realize that we're feeling angry with God.
Wow.
We might not even acknowledge it.
Yes.
But things happen in our lives and we have certain circumstances or situations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, like you say, we start feeling sorry for ourselves. We start getting bitter towards God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, us just reading these different scriptures that Joyce Myers was talking about and how we shouldn't be shocked when trouble comes. Jesus said we're going to have many trials and suffering on this earth, but, you know, he's overcome. And that those difficult situations that we're called to endure in life, that they teach us endurance to persevere and build strong character. Mm-hmm. And when we suffer, whatever our suffering is,
yeah,
that we're suffering with Christ, we're, yes, partaking of his suffering.
Yes.
So the way she was talking, I just loved it. It's one of the best lessons ever. But she talks about how these things are, you know, temporary. Yeah. And when we think of that and we think of the joy that we have in our faith and in Jesus, and we realize what's coming is this victory and joy and the peace that he gives us, even in this life and in the life to come, then that's, if we keep our perspective right and keep focusing on God, then we are able to overcome. And she said, don't let these things, you know, like you talked a lot this morning about dealing with the negative emotions, that we can't let those things drive us under.
Right.
They can't take us down and take us under. We have to overcome it, go over those hurdles, and move on with God.
Yes.
So we were talking last Tuesday in our study about how we were referring back to the lessons that you're teaching on letting God lift our heads.
Yes.
That if we keep looking down and looking at all the muck and the mire and all the details of, yes, our circumstances, mm-hmm, and we don't allow God to lift our head up, or we don't keep that godly,
yes,
perspective,
yes,
then we can't grow. Mm-hmm. We're not really where God wants us to, mm-hmm, be. And it can even become so unhealthy that we could get bogged down and really be sinning against God.
Wow.
Because we won't allow God,
yeah,
to heal us.
Yes.
Heal our hearts.
Yes.
Heal our wounds.
Yes. You're right, because that will become your testimony. That will become your testimony, that I went through this and da-da-da, and then this happened, and that's the end of it. It won't be like David, yes, I went through this, and this, but God. Mm-hmm. You know, it won't be any but God, but if you don't allow him to lift your head. And I just wanted to clarify, the scriptures talk about that God took pity, or Jesus took pity, or Jesus had compassion. You know, but that's Jesus and God having compassion. You know, when we talk about self-pity, that's something different. Okay, there's a difference with self-pity. I'm feeling sorry for myself. You know, and I want people to come around and just kind of, oh, mm-hmm, poor thing, you, mm-hmm, know. So there's a difference, folks. But God, you know, that woman, that issue of blood, Jesus had compassion, took pity on her, mm-hmm, you know. But she wasn't feeling sorry for herself. Mm-hmm. She came out and she reached out to the Savior.
And you know, when a person's going around with self-pity, you can't be used by the Lord for nothing.
No. Exactly.
You're so wrapped up in yourself, and you know, it's just like I see, like my son, the way he is, and you hear people say, poor guy, you know, or poor thing. Hey, right away that stirs me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell him, mm-hmm, you want to help, mm-hmm, my son? Pray for him.
Yes, exactly.
Pray for him. Another thing you brought up this morning was the human needs Jesus, and, mm-hmm, I asked ourselves, are we doing our part out there to, mm-hmm, to see that these humans are receiving or, mm-hmm, hearing about the Lord,
mm-hmm,
wherever we're at?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we so wrapped up in self,
wow,
or what other people, mm-hmm, think, that, mm-hmm, we're not doing our part?
Yeah.
Them are two things I started as you were talking. We are so blessed to know and with full confidence the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. I don't think we're using it enough.
I don't think we're using it enough. Hello.
Because if we were using it enough, this church should be packed and overpacked.
Yes.
It should be hasta chongos.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you know what? We know that we have that authority in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
To bring them, to invite them, and to, we don't have to. All we have to do is invite them.
Yes.
And let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Yes.
But I thank the Lord because every single day that since I got saved, and this is not boasting, I know that Christ is with me.
Wow.
I know that He has been with me since the night I threw myself at that altar.
Wow.
I have no doubt in my mind.
Yes.
And I just pray to God that each one of us could say the same thing.
Yes.
Because you will know, it looks like as you go through more testings and trials and testing and testing, that's when you even get tougher.
Yes, absolutely. Tougher. That's the way that works.
You get tougher. You get where you get to the point you say, hit me again, buddy. And my trust in Jesus.
See, now you're sounding like the apostle when he said, I glory in tribulation. See,
because you finally
I didn't always get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You finally get to the point where you know without a shadow of a doubt that no matter what you go through, you're going to make it.
Yes.
You're going to make it.
That, yes.
And
because he knew every time he went through something, God was going to take him up higher. And that was his test. He said, you know, I glory in tribulation because each one takes me to a higher, level in glory. And I'm telling you, what Virginia was saying is absolutely true. If we pay attention, if you pay attention tomorrow morning and through your day, God presents so many opportunities for you to minister to people.
I was about to say that because
Holy Spirit.
Every day, the Holy Spirit, I prayed to the Holy Spirit, I said, because I am so busy at work. I said, Lord, just give me the time to speak to someone every day. I pray that every day. And every day he gives me somebody to speak. Yeah, like the other day I spoke to this man. You know, we're in the meeting after the meeting. And he said, what's the matter with you? Because he's all like gloomy. And he said he's having problem at home with the wife and everything. And he's losing his house. And I ministered to him. And, you know, and I said, you know, the only time that you get peace in your heart is to know the Lord. I said, do you know the Lord? And he said, no. So like that, and he actually, I support it. You know, I don't say anything bad about it, but, you know, my wife is, you know, devout Catholic and everything. But I minister to him just to encourage him. You know, life is very, very important, you know. And then I minister to this other lady that, you know, she's have IBS or something like that, and I prayed for her. I prayed for her in the corner. I prayed for her everywhere. Yeah. You know, but the Lord gives you the opportunity if you ask.
Yes.
You ask, and He listens to you, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Pray to the Holy Spirit because He listens every day.
Yes.
And after He does that, it's like, glory to God. You know, I know you listen to me.
He'll move into you. I mean, something you weren't even thinking about. I mean, he told me, give someone a gift today. You know, I was feeling sad because this person was leaving us, you know, and I was like, oh, they're leaving. But plant a seed.
Yeah.
Plant a seed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like able to buy her a card that had a prayer on it.
Right.
And you know, I don't know what her faith is, but I'm buying, you know, she knows what mine is. I brought her a card with a prayer on it and bought her a little gift. And, you know, like to plant a seed before you go. And, you know, sometimes it's like, Lord will tell you, get someone a cup of coffee on the way in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but pay attention.
I do that all the time.
Pay attention. There's so many opportunities to minister to people, and the Holy Spirit will speak things in your heart to do to people. Just little things. It's not going to be anything big, but just little by little, you're planting seeds of the Savior in different places. So pay attention, folks. God is ministering. The fields are white, ready for harvest.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, going back to what Joyce Meyer was saying is, so many people do have situations in life where either something happens to them health-wise or a loved one, a family member, or friends, some tragedy. And a lot of people, you know, you have to make that decision. do I, you know, think God still loves me? You know, am I going to keep my faith? Am I going to keep a godly perspective? Or some people go the other way and turn away from God. And they're so offended by what's happened that they say things like, I don't even believe there is a God. Or if there was God, why would God let this happen to me? Or why would my, you know, my child be dead or whatever? And so as Christians, I'm just thinking like right now, we're here at this boot camp. We're in training, and we're here to get strong so we can go out and face the trials and situations we're going to encounter in life. So we don't want to lose our testimony. We don't want to be the ones whining and having all the self-pity or being angry. I mean, we do. We're human. God's given us the emotions. We have times that we struggle and we stumble, and we need, you know, we need healing ourselves. But we want to get to the point where we're strong so we can help other people. Like Rose was saying, we're going to meet people that have deep pain and very, very difficult, tragic circumstances. So we want to have a word to encourage them or minister to them when they're going through that crisis.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. There are some, there are people in this world, in this, as you all know, that have gone through some very deep things from childhood. They've gone through some really painful, painful episodes. So again, pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to minister. And you know, sometimes there are no words. Sometimes it's just prayer. Sometimes it's just, you know, take them to lunch. Sometimes it's just give them a hug. Sometimes that's all the Holy Spirit may say because they're not ready to receive anything else but this right now. So just again, be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, you know. That's all right.
Just like you, Karen, I am a praiser too, praising God not just in the good times, but in the, especially in the hard times. And I also have a tambourine too. And I don't dance just
Amazon.com.
But I don't dance just here in church. I do get my tambourine, my front room, and I worship the Lord with it. I think I've heard a quote, and it does say, praise breaks chains if you don't let the chains break your praise. And that
wow.
is good, yeah. And another thing, I don't know what version this is, it might be Amplified, where you says that you have shattered the teeth of the wicked. The New King James says you have broken the teeth of the ungodly, but I see this verse as, of course, the Lord has broken the teeth of the enemy. He's like a roaring lion. It says he's like a roaring lion. And his roar are his lies. That's what his roar is. But he's toothless. The Lord has already
Isn't that good?
Has some power, but our God has all power.
That's right.
And he's given us that power, and he's given us that authority. And we said, "Now we do. We need to use it."
Wow! Now I'm just going to go into prayer right from there. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for making the enemy into a toothless lion, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. I pray over your people, Lord God. I pray over myself, Lord God. Father, that we would walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that we would walk in the freedom that you've given us. That we walk in the confidence that we have in you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I know that your heart desire is to lift up all of our heads, Lord God. There is no power in the universe that can keep it hung down, Lord God. Oh, Lord, over your lifting up, Lord God. So I pray that you would help us, strengthen us. Father, again, I pray that we would pay attention. Lord, after we pray and have our time with you in the morning, that we would pay attention, Lord. As Virginia said, this church should be full. Oh, God. So, Lord, I pray that we would be laborers in the field. The harvest is plenteous. You said the fields are white. Oh, God, ready for harvest. Lord, I pray that we would rise up as laborers. Oh, Lord, God, I pray that we would be wise. Oh, God, in your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord, move us by your power. Move us by your spirit. Lord, I thank you because you are lifting our heads on so many levels. Oh, God, continue the work in us, Lord God. I thank you for these things, and we praise your name, Jesus Christ, the lifter up of our heads. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.